It was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I am doing, but later you will understand." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." "Then, Lord," Simon Peter replied, "not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well." Jesus answered, "Those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you." For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, "Not everyone was clean." When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked them. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." And from verse 31. Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now. Where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." This is the word of the Lord.
Good evening. Let's pray, shall we? Lord, as we look at your word, we pray that we will take your word and only your word, write it in our hearts and in our minds, that we may live it out in our lives today, tomorrow, and always. Amen. Get the first slide up, please. There we go. This is my shirt. Admire. What have we got in common? We've got in common that shirt, the shirt that belongs to Liverpool Football Club. I grew up in Liverpool, as many of you may know, and I've always been a supporter of Liverpool. And that is Jamie Carragher, one of the longest serving players ever to play for Liverpool. So let's look at what he did then. He was born 28th of January 1978, and he had a career with Liverpool for 17 years. a one-club man. He was Liverpool's vice-captain for 10 years and is the club's second longest ever-serving player, making his 737th appearance for Liverpool in all competitions on the 19th of May 2013. Carragher also holds the record for the most appearances in European competition for Liverpool with 150 appearances. Carragher grew up as an Everton fan. Before deciding to play for Liverpool, yes. Starting his footballing career at the Liverpool Academy, and he made his professional debut in the 1996-97 season. It's at this point that I start to feel old. And he became a first-team regular the following season. He started off as a fullback, but the arrival of manager Rafael Benitez in 2004 saw Carragher move to become a centre-back, where he found his best form. His honours with Liverpool total 2 FA Cups, 3 League Cups, 2 Community Shields, 1 Champions League, 1 UEFA Cup, and 2 Super Cups. With talent like that, he played for his country, and he held the national record for the most caps at under 21 level, and earned his senior debut in 1999. He represented England at the 2004 European Championships and the 2006 FIFA World Cup, before announcing his retirement from international football in 2007. He did, however, temporarily come back out of retirement in order to represent England at 2010 FIFA World Cup, before retiring again with 38 senior England caps. Wow. That says an awful lot about him, doesn't it? Says an awful lot. But do we really know him? Do we know what his character's like? We know he was a great football player. We know he played for a great club with a massive history. But what's it say about his character? Some of you may have seen this recently. It was on the 11th of March, so it's only about two weeks ago. He was driving home from a football match. It was a football match between Manchester United and Liverpool. So that is a massive match in the calendar for any Liverpool fan. And United had won 2-1. And Carragher was driving his car past some Manchester United fans who wound their window down. They gave him a bit of lip, you know, 2-1, 2-1 and all that. He wound his window down, said a few words, and then spat at them. And it was all recorded on a phone. So it went on social media. And there you see, on the right-hand side, Carragher afterwards. His actions said a lot about his character. And his actions brought him down. He was a football pundit for Sky TV. He's been suspended from that job. And he was also represented a Danish sports channel. He's lost that as well, for what he called a moment of madness. A moment of madness. You see, actions speak. Actions speak. I'd like to tell you a story about some actions. This is a book called 40 Stories of Hope. It's 40 stories of how faith changed prisoners' lives. It was published this year, 40, because there are 40 days in Lent. And the idea was you could read each one of these stories each day in Lent. And obviously, we've got a lot of these in the prison. And I'd like to share one of those stories with you. When I was released from prison, some members of the church met me at the gates and took me to the house. No one had ever done that for me before, and it made me feel a bit less anxious. I felt like someone actually cared about what happened to me. We arrived at the Hope Into Action house, and I was told it would be my home. The house itself was so lovely. It was clean and had everything I would need. People from the church had pitched in to help furnish the house, so I had a bed to sleep on, a sofa to sit on, and a table to eat at. I was surprised that people who I'd never met had obviously put in so much effort to make it feel homely for me. That first night, I had a welcome meeting with Steve, the vicar of the local church. We had a meal together, cooked by one of the volunteers at the house. For the first time, as long as I could remember, I felt welcome and wanted. Steve talked through everything with me and reassured me that the people from Hope into Action would help support me getting back into employment. We also went through lots of other housekeeping things together, like paying bills, so that I knew exactly what needed to be paid and when. He said it might take a while for my benefits to arrive, so they gave me some food bank vouchers to get me through in the meantime. I met my housemate the day I moved in. It felt a bit strange to be sharing a house with a complete stranger. But in some ways, I liked the fact that I wasn't on my own. He'd been there a while, so he seemed very much at home and said he'd show me the ropes over the next few days. I was pleased there was someone who I could ask where the nearest bus stop was and the local shop. It was an amazing feeling to have my own room for the first time in ages. Just the privacy of not having to share a bedroom felt really good. It was really peaceful. I hadn't realized how much the noise of the prison bothered me until I noticed the peace and quiet of the Hope into Action home. Having a bathroom felt like a bit of a luxury after sharing facilities with loads of other blokes at the prison. Someone had thoughtfully provided some clean towels and toiletries for me to use. It's hard to describe how I felt the first night I slept in the house. I think it was a mixture of anxiety and excitement. Here I was in my new home, living with someone I'd only met an hour before. Everything was different. The weirdest thing was that a bunch of complete strangers from a church I'd never been to had worked so hard to make me feel wanted and welcomed. They actually seemed to care what happened to me. I wasn't used to feeling like that. It was strange, but I really felt touched by it. That's one prisoner's story, coming out of prison. And the actions of the people from that church had such an impact on him. Only today, we had a prisoner ring up the prison where I work. And he was telling us how he doesn't get any benefits for 6 weeks. So he leaves the prison with about £46 in his pocket and no benefits for 6 weeks. Food bank is the only way he can eat. Unless, of course, he steals. People who provide food banks, people who provide, like Hope into Action houses, are doing something. Their actions speak loud and clear. Not only to people like our prisoner, but also others around. Actions are so powerful. I was amazed. First time I went to a conference, like many of you, off to Spring Harvest next week, you'll probably see someone at the front during the worship signing. Does anyone know what this is? Jesus. Because the nails in the hand. Okay, and that? Anybody? Lord. So if you want to say Jesus is Lord, it's that. But if you go to Spring Harvest next week and watch people signing, it's beautiful to watch the actions of someone who's signing in worship. It really is great. I encourage you. Well, Jesus knew, didn't he? Jesus knew all about actions. And tonight we remember two particular actions. All right? I'll do the second one first. He broke bread. He shared a cup of wine and then told us to remember that and to do it. Why? Because the action was important because of what it said. The action was saying, my body has been broken. The bread being broken symbolizes the body of Jesus being broken. Broken on a cross. And of course the wine represents the blood of Jesus outpoured for you and I. And Jesus says, remember this. Whenever you drink of this cup, eat of this bread, do this in remembrance of me. So simple action, breaking of bread, speaks volumes to us. Speaks about sacrifice. Speaks about what Jesus said at the end about love. Speaks about love. And of course, the second thing he did was foot washing. Jesus took his cloak off, got down in front of one of his disciples, and started to wash his feet. The work of a servant. That simple action of washing someone's feet told the disciples so much about the character of Jesus, so much about the type of love that Jesus was trying to teach them about. It wasn't a lord it over everybody sort of love. It was a servant heart-centered love. And even today, that picture there, you might recognize him, that's the Pope. He is the head of the Roman Catholic Church across the whole globe. There are thousands of people that he is in authority over. And yet there he is, washing a stranger's feet, because that's what Jesus taught him to do, as he tells us to do. Washing feet is a real sign of love. It's a sign of our character. It's a sign of our attitude towards each other and also towards God, because we're doing it because of the love that God has shown us. We're trying to reflect that love into others.